I'm here, joined again, once again, my best friend, brother, David Dodge. It's been a minute since we had you on, but now we get to see you. Now we get to see you. It seems like you're in a, it seems like you're in a recording studio of some sorts. I don't know.
I'm trying to be.
I hear you. Now, David, we just celebrated your first time performing. Mm-hmm. At Los Globos. Shout out to Los Globos, Hollywood.
Shout out to Los Globos. Shout out to Coast to Coast for giving me the opportunity. And not just me, a lot of young independent artists that are trying to make it out of the music scene.
Now, how euphoric are you feeling? How are you feeling since then? Because it was only like about 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Like, how are you feeling? Tell us like what was going through your mind mentally, emotionally. What did you use to go get that motivation? Tell us. I'm interested.
Yeah, so, you know, performing, I've performed before, but only in front of family and close friends. This was my first time performing in front of people that I had no idea. It's the biggest crowd I actually performed in front of, about a couple hundred people or so. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was nervous. I was very, very nervous. The couple months before leading up to this performance, I got this, you know, I'm gonna do it. Literally the morning of the performance, I woke up and I was like, holy shit, I'm performing today. And that's when the nerves started kicking in. Really, it's just, I had to channel my inner Mamba mentality.
Yes, sir.
As cliche as that sounds, I know you were there. You were looking at me. What was I doing on my phone right before my performance? I was literally looking up. I was looking at a picture of Kobe Bryant giving his Mamba mentality look.
Yes,
that's what drove me. That was my motivation right there. Can't let the big man down.
And you know, David Dodge is a Los Angelo, you know, fellow Angelino. And so, you know, him, he's a Lakers fan to, you know, from start to finish, you know, big Kobe Bryant fan, always adopted the Mamba mentality. You know, we've known each other since high school. David and I have known each other since high school. And I kid you not, he would be carrying a basketball more at school than he would his own backpack. Okay. And
backpack, bro.
Exactly. I'm telling you the truth. I would never see him with the backpack. It would be the basketball in one hand and the speaker in the other, just blasting, just music. And like, that's how dedicated he is to basketball. That's how dedicated he is to being disciplined and always being prepared, you know, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, whenever challenge, he'll always put in the work, always put in the time to, you know, not only just be good, and good enough, but be better than everyone and better than, you know, what he was the day before. And, you know, speaking from, you know, my first time performing, it was the same deal. It was like, okay, I'm blessed to have this position. I'm blessed to have this opportunity. Okay, I get it. You know, I've done these songs before. I've recited these. I know. But then the day of, I was at work too. I went to work just hyping everyone up. They're hyping me up. And then I just got there. I got there and I was just like, friends are coming. I'm like, oh my God, that added more pressure. I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm nervous. Everyone's starting to come in. I'm like, whoa. And I'm going first. You know, I went first. Shout out to Ramon and the halftime show, downtown LA. Like, I asked him, yo, I really want to go first. I want to set the tone. I want to set the atmosphere. And that's what I did. And just having the Mamba mentality, having Kobe, Chadwick Boseman and Nipsey Hussle just channeling their energy inside of me. You know, I went and killed that. And this is plenty more for you, plenty more performances. And you actually won something, correct? Like you won something. You didn't just perform and say, hey, thank you, but you actually was so good that you won something. What did you win?
I won a spot in the Coast to Coast World Championship. And for those people who don't know, Coast to Coast is the biggest artist showcase in America, actually, goes from all 50 states. Artists from all 50 states compete, and the grand prize, $50,000. But it's not really about the money for me. If it was about the money, I wouldn't, you know, be stressing out that much. It's mostly just, how do I want to present myself and my music on stage? Because at the end of the day, it's usually you get judged by the first appearance, and it's up to you to dictate your narratives from the outside.
I agree. You know, it's so easy to kind of lose your way when you're trying to perform. Definitely when you're trying to perform for, you know, a cash prize or a spot in something. You know, you're trying to sometimes you just focus on that. I gotta win, and that can kind of like distract you from, I have to be on my spot. I have to be in the right place. I gotta be on the right time. You know, when the beat drops or when the verse starts to kick in. And for you to maintain not only just that focus, but also that humility. I'm not proud, but I'm happy. You should be proud of you. That's the only person you gotta be proud of. But I'm just so happy. Like, literally, I'm not gassing, I'm not even lying. After you got your prize, after you were even announced, when the show was over, you went up to the stage to the announcers and to the judges and just shook their hand and thanked them. And that's just a showing tell of humility and, you know, just not just being a good artist or a good person, but a humble person and a person with a, you know, a good appreciation. And that's what you displayed and that's what you showed. And again, I'm just so happy for you. You know, your first time performing in a crowd and to be winning something, that takes, you know, ice in your veins for sure. And
shout out D-Lo.
Yes, man. He left LA and got a 50 million VC bonus and just tatted it up ever since. But speaking of D-Lo and speaking of Kobe, Lakers, man. So the opening night was last night, and I'm a Lakers fan by association, you know, of course, and you're a diehard Lakers fan. Do we even want to talk about us?
You know, if there's one thing in my life that, or one person or anything that constantly breaks my heart every day, and I... You know what? It's like the Lakers are like a toxic ex, bro. You know, they keep on breaking my heart every single night they play. And then for some reason, you keep on running back to them, you know, because it's just toxic. And the nights that they surprise you when the relationship is going good, the next day they somehow find a way to fuck it up.
Oh, you talking now, man. Oh, my God. You speak in facts, man. You are, you know what, toast to that. And shout out to C4, our official and unofficial sponsor for this podcast and interview. Now, if you don't know what C4 is, it is the best energy drink. It's the best pre-workout drink you get on the market. Not only can you get C4 in the can version, you can also get it in the container version. You can get it at Target, or you can also buy online, and you can get it from the online store, bulk deals, always having deals, and you just open it. It's a little, somehow, it's a bit hard to open. I can't even open it. I shield us up, but like, this is the Arctic Snow Cone. You get some of this, a couple, you know, spoons full of it, get some cold water, and you mix that, and you got the best pre-workout right there. Right in your hands, no even having to go out and get it. But if you do choose to go out and get some at the local store, you got Skittles, you got cherry, you got Starburst flavored. You have a really good good variety of C4 flavors to get. I highly recommend you choose it. And you know, if you don't want to, hey, don't have to take my word for it. See for yourself. Okay. Now,
I like that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, C4.
Put that in the song.
Oh, I'm working on it. I 100% agree with you on the Lakers. You know, as much as I want Russell to be great, you know, prayers to Russell. Actually, this is a more deeper conversation to have because, like, with Russell Westbrook, you know, there's a fine line between giving strong criticism, strong constructive criticism, and then it just being flat out toxic, like you mentioned, just toxic and just becoming not just, we're not even talking about the player Russell Westbrook, but the person and attacking his wife, his family, his children, just trying to tarnish the Westbrook name. That's just uncalled for. We got to be better than that. You know, I understand LA, we're a city of champions. You know, we build and we make winners. I understand that, but there's a fine line to giving constructive criticism and just spewing out hate and pure toxic and negativity. Better than that.
You know, if you were playing for the Memphis Grizzlies, or like,
shout out to Ja.
Yeah, or like, you know, what's another pointless team out there?
New Orleans Pelicans. Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Queens, yeah. If you're playing for the Orlando Magic, you know, like, that I understand. But you're playing for a world-class organization that is not respected only in basketball, but it is one of the most historic franchises in all of sports on the global planet. I think outside of America, the biggest Lakers fan base is China, bro. China.
Kobe.
Yeah. And it's a respected franchise with history. And as much as I hate the Celtics, I don't know anything green, my guy. I hate them with a passion. Celtics are one of those respected franchises, just like the Knicks. So whenever you have players with a big stature, with a big name, come and put your jersey on for the first time, they expect nothing but greatness. And because we've seen nothing but greatness, so our tempers and our patience is already low to begin with. But when you try to push it and make it worse, see, Westbrook tried to make it his own way. I've noticed with the Lakers. He didn't want to accept our coach, but that's the coach that gave us a championship. You know?
True.
He tried to be Russell Westbrook when we didn't need Russell Westbrook. We needed Russell Westbrook's body with Russell Westbrook's athleticism, but within our offense, within our defense.
Right. You
know, he got a lot of hate because he tried to run the team. And this year, although it's only one game, I can see a huge difference in his demeanor towards the season, towards the games. It's more understanding. It's more taking a backseat, you know, doing whatever coach asks me to do type of mindset.
It's more making layups. I mean, he went 7 for 12.
Yeah, he also did miss 5 layups. I mean,
oh, well, you know, yeah.
7 for 12. 7 for 12. 3 of them were layups that he missed, and it's giving me a heartbreak right now, man.
Well, you said something that I thought about running the team. I say this: you're either trying to run the team or you're trying to run with the team. You can't do both. Okay, now LeBron's LeBron. Okay, he can do both because that's LeBron. 4 MVPs, 3 chips. Come on, Lakers wouldn't have this 2020 chip without LeBron being there. And of course, AD coming then the year later, right?
He's getting on my nerves too, LeBron, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, he kept on shooting threes and everything. That was terrible to watch. But, and we have the Clippers tomorrow. I hate it. I wish all nothing but the best for all LA teams.
Nope.
Except for the Clippers, of course. Lakers, Dodgers, yep. The Rams.
Yep.
Okay, the big three right there. Those are the big three. So
don't forget the LA Kings, my guy.
And the LA Kings, yes, the four. Of course. Come on now. But Also, you know, the LA Crowns. Okay, I'm going to have my own team one day. The LA Crowns is going to be the name of it. Okay? Shout out to LA Khalil. Oh, wait. That's me. The anywho.
I got you. I'll do the favor. Shout out to LA Khalil right now. One of the most humble human beings I've met. And look at him, bro. It's amazing what you've accomplished, man. With so little and little time, too.
Thank you. I owe it to God, you know. That's the main supporter right there. Without him, God I have nothing. Did. God did. Dodge did. Khalil did. Yes, LeBron sir. Did. Hey! Okay, now we have music. We talk about a couple, you know, we talk about your performances. But my guy, you, when it comes to music, you're not just a writer. You're an artist in for every sense of the word. You're a producer, like, not only for, like, making beats, but I would give you my song. Like, I gave you How It Feels, right? And I was just thinking about what can I do to elevate, you know, the people around me. I wanted you on that song because I wanted to give you a song with credit. I want to give you credits. I want to see your name on my songs. I want to see your name out there and getting royalties and things like that. And this was after you kind of, like, came back from Armenia playing for the basketball team, and we just, you know, we talked about it, and you just called me, and you know, you added this element, you added this, or you took this out, and you gave more emphasis on this part. Like, I have just started to adopt that mentality because of talking to you in depthly with music and songwriting, things of that nature. So I have to say thank you for that.
Yes, yeah, my pleasure, man.
And secondly, you know, what does it take for you to get in that zone as an artist? Like, do you, of course, you know, you're MJ's biggest fan, Michael Jackson, of course.
Do, like, I have to show you the wall, man?
What do you say?
Do I have to show you the wall?
I mean, I would like to see the wall, but it's all up to you. I mean, you have some greatness on that wall. I just say that.
This is a, I gotta take this damn thing off. Unless I just do this.
I got you.
My phone's done. Ouch. Alright, let's see. Right there, man.
Yeah.
This is all most of Michael Jackson's albums. I'm missing one that's coming in the mail soon.
Okay.
This is my little muse mold. This one fell.
This is it. That's what you're saying. This is it. This is the wall.
This one fell, unfortunately. I gotta stick it back up there. Yeah, sure. But, you know, yeah. That's how it is.
And the song you performed had an MJ sample on it as well.
Yeah, of course.
Like, for you, again, like, just how do you get in that zone? Because MJ has big shoes to fill. So what do you do to really, like, get into that mentality and that vulnerability with your music?
Well, first things first, I put myself in the mindset that, and I've done this from the beginning. The people who have inspired me, I have to remind myself that I'm not trying to be them. For example, Michael Jackson. I did my performance under a remix that I did with his song. I'm not trying to be Michael, you know, but what I'm doing is I'm taking whatever he's given me and infusing it with what I already have. Kind of creating my own entree, if you will.
Okay.
Different experiences. Cause I look at it this way. If Michael was still alive and he took something from me and I took something from him, our performances would still be very different. Because he's the one taking from me, but I'm the one taking from him. It's got to get in, put yourself in that mindset that you're trying to be yourself. You know?
Yes. Now, you mentioned about toxic relationships. Now, you got some songs that, really deep into that, but you have an album. You have an album that I've heard a little bit of, intro. I've heard a couple songs, and you know, it's Euphoric, for sure. You know, for this album, right? Euphoria. This is your upcoming album, and I'm very excited to listen to it and hear the full thing. Mm-hmm. What gets you into a new lane of a new sound, a new genre, a new lane of music? Like, how did that go about when creating Euphoria and think of starting Euphoria, the album?
So, my last album, Farewell My Love.
Farewell My Love.
You remember that one? That had a single message in it. That was a storyline that if you paid close attention to, you would know what the whole album's about. It's about a past relationship that took a while for me to get over. Then, end of summer, I dropped an EP called The Warm Up. And that was more like summery. You know, just summer's almost over, so let's make the best of it. You know, I had a few of little everything.
Tropical vibes and all.
Yeah, that. Tropical. Tropical. Definitely tropical. And when it came to this, I was like, okay, this is an album. It's not going to be a mixtape. It's not going to be an EP. It's going to be a full production-length album. I got to do something that I've never done before. And with this one, with Euphoria, this is the most amount of time I've spent on production, just the production end. I think one song took me about 7 to 8 days to just get all the melodies down and the components of the drums, the bass, everything down without any mixing or mastering, just so I can get the melody down. And the reason for that is I came up with the name Euphoria because I want you to feel something you've never felt before. And I want you, when you listen to this album, I want you to feel high without taking any recreational drugs. If you want to, I mean, I'm not the boss of you, you know? Right. You might hear something different when you're on that. But the whole point is for everyone to listen to the same thing, whether you're on different trips. I want you to feel high. I want you to feel like you're lost, you know? And the only thing that's surrounding you is the music.
I love it. I love it. So this will be your third album.
Third. We had Trust Issues in 2020, Farewell My Love 2022. And from the looks of it, we're looking at projected early, late December release, maybe early January.
Okay. Now with those two albums, they were somewhat high volume, you would say. You could say high volume. Almost about 20 or so, around that ballpark.
Both of them had 15.
About 15? Mm-hmm. Do you feel as though, like, you know, Drake has an obligation to give you rap and to give you R&B. So that's the main reason of, like, the high volume, you know, albums. Is there more of a deeper reason from having, you know, a certain amount of songs? Or, you know, is it all just about, you know, putting out the best music on this album and you're just trying to deliver it to the audience?
It's not so much about figuring out which song is the best or for the numbers. I look at it as this. Every artist has a phase. That phase has a window. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, perfect example of Drake. I'll bring it up right now. Drake can make a song that sounds like it's from the comeback season, right? It could sound like it's from there, but do you think he'll drop it? Because that phase is gone.
Yeah.
So, same with me, man. If I make, example, it's supposed to be a Euphoric album. If I make something that sounds euphoric, I'm going to put it and let people enjoy it while it's in its window.
Okay.
Rather than me drop it on the next album when it's not Euphoric, but that's the only Euphoric song on there. And then it just doesn't feel like the theme. And yeah, it just at that point just sounds like a filler out of all songs, which I never make fillers. But
right,
that's why I just whatever song that comes to mind, if it's gonna be 30 songs, man, then I'll make a double album. As long as everything falls in line with the timeline, because my career is my story. It's a different chapter. Every album is a different chapter in your life. And you're not gonna have something that was supposed to happen in chapter one out of nowhere show up on chapter five. It just doesn't work like that.
Right. Okay, I understand. Not every chapter has the same amount of pages, right? So, you know, if this chapter has 10 pages or is going to have 10 pages, are you going to fill every single page? Maybe the, you know, next chapter has 20 pages and that's just how it's going to go. So, I understand where you're coming from, most definitely. I love hearing that. You know, music is a universal language. And it's, you know, it's really good. It's really relieving to hear. Definitely youth, you know, young, the next generation or the current generation, such as yourself and myself, you know, having this art appreciation and also like the business appreciation of music and, you know, putting so much love and dedication to putting out the best, you know, work possible. You know, that means a lot. And I think for artists that are still trying to find themselves, you got to take as much time as possible. You don't ever want to put yourself in a position of delivering something half-baked. You know what I mean? You don't ever want to put out something that's halfway cooked, because then people aren't going to get the full story, the full visual, the full feeling, and it's going to feel, you know, it's not going to feel.
But like, you know, we've talked about music, we talk about performing and oh, okay. One question though, you know, do you want to be performing? Of course, you want to be consistent, but like, how often do you want to put yourself out there? Like a performance every 2 weeks, a performance every month, or are you just trying to gauge where you are with music, you know, trying to find the next type of songs to perform? You know, when is the next time we'll be able to see David Dodge on a screen? Or on the stage? And also on the screen, because we took videos, you know, the Armenian army came to support David Dodge, you know, so they won deep.
Yeah, gotta thank my brothers for all their support. But, you know, it's like that thing Chris Paul said when he went to the finals a couple years ago against Milwaukee. He got addicted to it. I got addicted to performing on stage. I've always enjoyed performing, but like I said, I've never done it in front of everyone else. It's that feeling of rush, that excitement, like people are clapping for you, but you're making them enjoy their time.
Yeah.
And the answer to your question, when do you expect me to be back on stage, is whenever I get a call. I'll do anything, bro. Let it be known that I'll do events. I'll do baptisms, I'll do Christians, I'll do weddings, but I'll do anything just for the chance to make people enjoy themselves.
Funerals?
Huh?
You do funerals? Pending. It's pending.
I mean, I got a couple of sad songs that I could whip out, you know.
What about bar mitzvahs? You do bar? Jake be like, you know, I want to do my third bar mitzvah, just like fly out to T-Dot. He just fly you out for the bar mitzvah. Because, you know, or like Drake's going to like give his son a bar mitzvah when he turns 13. So like,
I mean, Drake's part Jewish, man. I can't tell you that I'll do bar mitzvahs or not, because I just don't know how to work one, man. I got you.
I'll send you the link, the bar mitzvah 101. It's a wonder what YouTube provides you, right? Well, speaking of like the Armenian army, your brothers coming out to support, a couple of your friends, a couple of your guys, they do music as well. I would love for you to take this opportunity to just like and how much you want to do, like just shout them out. I want them to get as much love as well.
Listen, bro. I gotta word this correctly. There is an artist by the name of Gary Heigl. All right. That man alone is spectacular, very talented individual. He will make 10 beats in 15 minutes, man. Like, and fully produced. Like, he's right there, man. He's a great singing voice. His stage presence was okay at first. Now it's way better. Now that he's, you know, gone to perform a couple times, he shot a couple of music videos coming soon, and his stage presence is a lot better. But when we're, and I'm a special individual on my own, but when we're in the studio together, man.
Drake and Future, Shaq and Kobe.
Hey, Shaq and Kobe, man. In the studio, we understand each other so well. He does his own thing, and I do my own style. But whenever we combine, it's ridiculous. The amount of potential hit songs that we've made that we decided to trash because we made something better 10 minutes later. You know, so shout out to Gary Heigl, one of the very first people I started my music career with. I have a new song coming out November 4th with another fellow artist of mine who was a friend of mine, not an artist of mine, a friend of mine, brother of mine. He was actually there at the performance. He goes by the name of 222 Nato. That's my boy right there. We're dropping a song on November 4th, a single, and it's going to be his debut.
Awesome.
And he's like Belly, I'm like Nav when it comes to that. So, you know, it's another cool dynamic that we can explore. So shout out to them too. Really, they're just both of them have come a huge, long way, and I'm super, super proud of them. Always will be, and always there to support them because I know they support me as well. So,
of course. Now there's two individuals. I'm blanking on their name at the moment, but Arnon, he was wearing the black jacket.
Armin, my boy Armin.
He's a great guy. We had just a good conversation as we were just eating at the truck after the performance. Shout out to him. Now, the individual that purchased my for the first time, I tried it, my torta.
Anthony.
Shout out
to my boy Anthony.
No, that's my guy, man. Anthony's legit, bro. He's gonna have me blushing on my own podcast, bro. That's my guy, man. Bro, shout out to Anthony and Armin. Those two individuals, great guys. You know, really just, you know, I was coming to the show just, you know, to see you, and then I see the whole, you know, the security, you know, Armenian security, and I'm like, okay, I just got patted down in the front now. At the door now, I gotta, you know, go past clearance again. But just seeing them, just seeing the love that they have for you, just seeing the, you know, the tight knit, close bond everyone has. I mean, shout out to them, shout out to Anthony, shout out to everybody. And you know, I'm glad that they're, you know, doing their own thing, music producing, you know, getting better every day. That's just much love to see. And that's one thing about, you know, our Armenian people, definitely in LA. You know, I don't see them by themselves. I always see them in groups and in like a football team, like really like an association. I just love the brotherhood, that dynamic. And I would just like to, you know, let you just go on. Just tell us so much. Tell us about what's happening in Armenia. Tell us ways for us to support, to know more. You know, what is going on? What can we do to help support and spread awareness? Literally, the floor is yours. And just thank you for this.
So it's gonna be very difficult to talk about this, but you know, surprise, surprise, my country is under attack again by the same people who have been attacking us since the beginning of our history.
Who are they?
Turkey and Azerbaijan. I think it's very important for people to know that this isn't just about getting land that they think is theirs. This isn't about, I mean, trade plays a huge part of it, but this isn't only about trade. We are the only Christian nation surrounding that region. And we're, here's Turkey, here's Armenia, and here's Azerbaijan. We're right in between. This is more than economic power. This is the attempt to cleanse. This is the attempt of a ethnic cleansing, a religious cleansing of the area. And it astonishes me that this has been going on for years, and yet no one is attempting to help us. It seems like everyone else having problems, America is on its knees sending help. But for some reason, we're always left in the dust to die in the cold. And we've survived on our own, but I don't know how long we can keep it up. It pains me because I'm over here in America, and every day I get to hear about 15 soldiers dead. Those 15 soldiers have families, they have moms, a mother lost a child. And again, it goes on both sides. You know, those are enemy soldiers, they have moms too. And when they die, their moms lose a child. And I don't like war at all, but this isn't war. You know, but we're not warranting any attack. We're defending ourselves because we keep getting attacked. It's that simple. I would say the best way to raise awareness about this is to get it out there as much as we can. Monetary obviously always helps, but not everybody can do that, and that's understandable. But just educating yourself even about it, you know, educating yourself, that gives you the opportunity to educate someone else about the issue. And right now, all I can say is that Armenia needs an ally. And I don't want to lose my homeland, is what I'm trying to say. That's a very historic land that we've known since pretty much the beginning of time. We're the first Christian nation on the planet. That should tell you how old and sacred our land is to us. I'm going to do everything I can in my power to help us maintain and keep our land and strive for many generations to come. Because you know what? I'm going to be very realistic. The way it's going right now, it feels like Armenia might not even exist in the next 20 years. You understand what I'm trying to say? I want to be able to take my kids and my grandkids to my motherland and show them, hey, this is where your grandpa grew up. This is where your great grandma lived. This is where, you know, this is where you come from. And I know for Armenians, it's the same feeling, because whenever you get off the plane, as soon as you touch, what's that tunnel? When you get off an airplane, you have to go through a little tunnel from the door to TSA. Yeah. As soon as you touch that, your feet touch that, every Armenian gets goosebumps, because you're standing on the soil that where you came from. You immediately feel, I want to say, like a supernatural kinetic force within you. But yeah, it's just it's more than unfortunate, really. And I feel like, you know, I'm not that big, but with whatever presence and figure I have, you know, I'm going to do my best to make sure that everyone knows about the situation of what's going on in Armenia and has been going on in Armenia, and what we can do as humans, just people with hearts. Forget about race, forget about religion. People with any kind of emotion or feeling, what we can do to help each other.
Thank you. You know, that was the goal, is to uplift voices and uplift motherlands, uplift cultures, and to let Armenian people know that they're not alone. And I'm going to do everything in my body and every fiber I have to uplift, share, and spread awareness, and to have a voice of Armenia here, you to spread awareness and spread knowledge, and to just hear and feel your emotions and feel what you're saying. I think it's a blessing to have you on to share this and to help me, you know, help spread awareness. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for, you know, taking your time out to spread, you know, a message and spread awareness. And, you know, your land isn't going anywhere. It's going to be there. And trust me, in due time, you know, what's right is always going to be right. And through adversity and hate, love always wins. And that's a mentality I choose to adopt. That's a mentality I choose to spread aware. And I'm very proud of you. You know, this is bigger than music. This is bigger than art and entertainment and things like that. This is life. And like you said, humans, to be a human, nothing to do with religion or ethnicity or color or skin, but just being a human and showing grace and love. You know, we all need help, you know, and in this case, a country, you know, a motherland, like you said, needs help. Children, mothers, fathers, you know, teachers, people need help. And thank you for sharing this for me. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for allowing me to even giving me the opportunity to speak my mind about it. Really, I really appreciate it.
Of course. You know, this is what we're here to do. This is what here at the Love Always Khalil podcast, this is what this is for. You know, Los Angeles is a melting pot of cultures and ethnicities, religions, and lifestyles. And, you know, I don't want to just show love to LA, because to show love to LA is to show love to the world. You know, there's a lot of Armenian people here. And then you have North African people here, and Cambodian and Ethiopian. What's happening in Ethiopia is very scary and dangerous. And Colombians, I made great friends with Colombians. I'm just trying to show love to them, back to where, you know, their motherland is. And, you know, this is the first step in a right direction, in a high direction. And just thank you again. Euphoria is on the way, and better things is on the way.
So Euphoria coming soon. Before Euphoria, like I said, that new song with 222 Nato.
November 4th.
November 4th. It's called What You Trying to Do.
Yes, sir.
A little West Coast vibe for my LA people.
Okay. Yeah, you were like, bro, you hit the moonwalk. It wasn't just everyone gathering around watching you perform and just, you know, doing the obligated cheers and everything. You were dirty dancing on that stage. Like, you created reactions. They weren't just reacting to react. You created those pops and those reactions. And I can't wait for more people to see the footage. Like, you did that. You really did. And this is just the beginning. So more love, more life, right? More blessings
for each and every one of us, man.
Yes, sir.
Every one of us.
Talk to you soon. Okay. This is a blessing. This is monumental. This is historical. And the second time here, this is it.
I'll see you when the album drops too.
Yes, sir.
We'll definitely have something to talk about when the album drops.
Most definitely. So, cheers.
Cheers, man. More life, blessings. Thank you for having me here. Really appreciate the time you've given me. And yeah, man, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're growing. Get there.
Will do.
All right.
Peace.